KIDO, joining us now, the author of The Complete Leader. Ron Price is with us, price-associates.com. We're here to talk about China and everything else, but Mr. Price, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Kevin. It's great to be here.
You know, we were talking a little off the air, very little. You and Ray and I were yapping for quite some time about your time here in the past. Tell us about working with John and Chris.
Yeah, some of my first consistent radio work was with KIDO, with John and John Twain, Chris Kelly. I think for 2 or 3 years, I would show up every Monday morning at 7:55. Mm-hmm. They said it was my job to give everybody a pump in the arm for the next week coming. So it was your daily or your weekly coach for the first 5 minutes of the week.
Well, certainly we appreciate you coming in. What a great run they've had, and good to have you back.
Great. It's good to be here, and it's good to see you with the station.
Well, thank you. Let me hit you with this. We're always looking to lead. In your book, The Complete Leader, you know, we always hear about, you know, the intangibles of what makes someone great, whether it's a coach, whether it's a business person. How does that happen?
Well, first of all, leadership is simple and complex at the same time.
Okay.
Simple in that a leader is probably best described as a person of influence, somebody that makes a difference or influences other people. And there are three ways that a leader can influence people. First, through their position or their rank. President Obama right now is the president of our country, and he has influence because of that and that alone.
Right.
The second kind of leadership is expertise leadership. Expertise influence comes from something that you've learned or you know that can benefit other people. So when I go to my dentist, I let him take that really long needle out and stick it in my mouth only because I trust his influence. And there are other kinds of influence in the world around us as well. A lot of people would argue that one of the great gaps in President Obama's presidency is that he doesn't have the expertise. He doesn't have the experience. He hasn't been at it long enough to be able to deal with the complexity of the issues that he has to deal with. The third kind of influence is what I call inspirational influence, but it's also what you might describe as character influence. It's people follow you because they want to be like you when they grow up. There's something about you that inspires them to be their better selves. And those are the three different dimensions of influence. And leadership is simple in that it's all influence, but the working out of those things has almost infinite complexity to it because we face different roles, different responsibilities in life. The way that I influence my employees and the way that I influence my children is often very different.
Sure. You know, so for me, I always admire these coaches, you know, whether it's Nick Saban, whether it's Chip Kelly, because they seem to get it right. And sometimes you can do everything right and it still doesn't work. And I remember and you on your website, price-associates.com, you have this building success by learning from failure.
Yeah. That's a blog that just came out today. It's an interview we did with Scott Sandell, who's the head of the technology division for New Enterprise Associates. They're one of the top venture capital firms in the company. And he's been coached by one of our team members. And he points out that in venture capital work, you're spending a lot more time failing than you are succeeding. And you have to learn through that. And you're constantly trying to just improve your batting average by a little bit in order to be successful.
But most of us are defined, you know, sometimes for the rest of our lives by failure. Yet, to win, we learn more from failure than success.
Yeah, I think it's really a test of character. My son, I'm proud to say that my son was just announced this week as the Entrepreneur of the Year for Entrepreneur Magazine, and he's on the cover of the January issue.
Wow.
That's quite an experience for a parent to go through, to look at that magazine and see your son on the cover. And it's not discreet.
Sure.
And when he and I talked after he saw the magazine cover, I said, Dan, there are two tests of character in life. One is the test of failures. The other is the test of success. Either way, it tests who we are, what we're made of. And I think people that rise from failure are people who had the character to be able to withstand that failure and not be defined by the failure, but instead they're defined by their character. And I said to Dan, your life is about to change dramatically once you're on the cover of an international magazine. And there are only two things that you need to know in order to survive this. The first is you need to know who you are.
Right.
The second is you need to know where you want to go so that you know when to say yes and when to say no to the other people who may want you to go somewhere else.
Right. And getting back to that issue again, we seem to, if we're smart, we go back and do a post-game analysis of why we failed.
Oh, yeah.
And learn from it.
That's the whole benefit of failure. If you don't look at it and learn from it and understand the dynamics, then you've lost the whole benefit of going through a failure.
Ron Price with us, Kevin Miller in the morning here at 580 KIDO. So talk, you know, you're very proud of what you're doing and writing this book. I mean, a lot of people like to write, and we talk to a lot of authors. What made you put this out?
Well, for a number of years in the executive coaching that I've done, I've continually come back to a set of skills that I know that leaders need to develop in varying degrees based on what position they're in. And as part of the diagnostics that we use in our coaching work, we have an instrument that comes from a company called TTI Success Insights out of Arizona. And they have 25 different competencies that we measure. One of my partners, Randy Lisk, and I decided that we would collaborate on this book so that we could create something that would outlive us and that was not just limited to our coaching clients, which it admittedly are fairly expensive engagements. We wanted to give something to a broader swath of people who aspire to leadership and especially to emerging leaders. So we built this book around the idea that there are three basic skills and one important character trait that all leaders have to develop in varying degrees.
Right.
The first is that all leaders have to be clear thinkers. We follow a leader if we know where they're going, if they're predictable, if we identify with what their vision or their strategy or their philosophy is.
What's the challenge, though, of modern-day leadership in today's overly regulated corporate world where it's all top-down and you must be a square peg in a square hole? Do you think leaders are allowed to emerge today because you have such control with these big corporations?
Well, the culture is unique in each organization. So I'd tell you that in Fortune 100 companies, and we've worked with plenty of them, some of them it's exactly the way you describe. But many of them, there are pockets where you can develop your own version of leadership. For instance, there's a Fortune 100 company. They were actually the third largest IPO on Wall Street after Facebook and Alibaba. And I've worked with their leaders in China and Japan and Vietnam and Brazil and the United States. And I found that within the context of those, the sphere of responsibility those leaders have, they have quite a bit of freedom. Of course, anytime you're a public company, the first thing you have to hit is the numbers. And
yes,
that's a little disparaging to me because the reality is the analysts only care about three things: increasing revenue, reducing costs, increasing share price. They don't care about your core values. They don't care about how much of a sense of corporate responsibility
right.
you have or anything. And that's disappointing to me. I think it's a bit out of balance with a lot of public companies. But even inside those public companies, we've found some tremendous leaders who have a lot of freedom to develop the kind of culture they want within their part of the kingdom.
I see. So let's talk about your international experience. Let's talk about China.
Yeah, so I first went to Asia in 1991. At that time, I was an executive at AIM International, mm-hmm. which is a nutrition business in Nampa. And we were growing very quickly. We quickly, in one decade, grew into eight different countries. And the first country was Taiwan. And we opened an office in Taipei. That was my first experience. In 1994, I had my first experience going to the mainland. And we were actually looking at starting a business in China at that time because we were focused on nutrition and helping people develop a better lifestyle.
Sure.
We decided not to do anything there because the only way in 1994 to do business in China was to be a partner with the government.
Isn't that still the same, though?
No, it's not the same. Today, there are three very distinct parts of the market. And this is part of what I researched before I decided to do work in China over the long term. There is the state-owned enterprise, and those are the old, monolithic, huge organizations that usually don't even care about profit because they're being funded by government revenue. Second is the private-owned enterprise. That's the Chinese entrepreneur who idolizes the Western style of capitalism, and they're growing very fast. And oftentimes, we'll see a private-owned enterprise over there grow to $100 million in revenue, and there's only one leader. They're still very autocratic. And then the third group is the multinational corporations.
But isn't it tough, and sorry to interrupt you, sir, but isn't it tough here at 580 KIDO to deal with the entrepreneurial spirit, the business spirit in a, you know, one-party system? That's a tough act to balance.
Well, the one thing that a friend said to me once that I thought was absolutely accurate is they said, you can say anything you want about China, and it'll be true somewhere.
Yes.
China is, when you think about 1.4 billion registered people, there are assumptions that there may be 300 million illegal aliens in China. 300, that's how many
wow.
people we have in the U.S.
Right.
that are undocumented aliens in China. So you've got somewhere maybe 1.5, 1.6 billion people in a country. You're going to have so many different currents flowing. And sure, the government plays a big role. And I think you have to be very aware of the government when you're working in China. But I always remember that only 8% of the population is a member of the Communist Party.
Right, but they still run the joint.
Oh, well, they run the joint, but they run it with varying degrees of firmness. For instance, Shanghai is not really submissive to Beijing at all. Shanghai has its own autonomous district, and as long as they don't do anything that's too counter-revolutionary, Beijing leaves them alone. Shanghai is still a very international city. It's got about 22 million people today. And you don't feel that much different being in Shanghai from being in New York City or being in London.
Right. But on the other hand, I mean, this is a country that does not teach what happened in Tiananmen Square.
No, but I can tell you that because in the work that I do, I'm working a lot with emerging leaders. So it's people in their 20s, 30s and 40s. Most all those people know, because all you have to do is have a VPN, a virtual private network, and you can see anything that's going on in the world is not controlled by the government.
Does that exist there?
It sure does. Matter of fact, I use it when I'm there
for
two reasons.
I don't want you to get in trouble with the Chinese officials that may be monitoring this broadcast.
Sure, they know what's going on because most expats have a VPN that they use so that they can participate on Facebook and have access to Google and things like that.
Right.
So a large percentage of the younger population is more aware of what's going on around the world than we're led to believe. And
right.
In fact, I remember one day I was at lunch with a group of people that were all in their 30s. And I asked them at one point, they were all almost without exception, single children because of the single child policy. And so they either lived with their parents or felt a great obligation to their parents because that's a Chinese cultural obligation. I said, if you had a chance to live today in the United States or to stay here in China and build your career in China because it's growing so fast, it's, quote, the land of opportunity. Without an exception, they all said I'd go to the U.S.
Why?
Because of freedom.
Mm.
Because they see not only the degree of freedom, but they still view the U.S. as the most prosperous country in the world, the country where you have the greatest opportunity to pursue what you want to do with your life and not be limited by outside influences. Now, today, China is a lot freer than it was 20 years ago, no doubt about it.
Right.
But it still has a long ways to go.
Earning your trust every morning. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Up all night. Staying up all night.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Thank you all for joining us. Don't forget, you can always check us out on Facebook and 580KIDO.com. Ron Price with us. Ron Price Associates talking about leadership and international relations and how we can improve our lives, and of course, his time in China. We do have some phone calls, and by the way, we do have some. You know, I know you're very familiar with this program, and you know, John and Chris and all. But this part, we do have some characters on this program, so, and I know they had theirs as well. So you're going to meet a couple establishment characters here, Ron. So,
I look forward to it, Kevin.
All right, we go to Liberal Steve at 580 KIDO. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, gentlemen. Mr. Price, I got a copy of your website on the refrigerator hinting that I want your book. It's a little spendy at $36, but hoping the wife picks me up a copy. It just reads as a great book. And I got a question for you. I've always said that for the last 10 years that the schools in America should make Chinese mandatory, along with Spanish. I was wondering if you agree with that.
Well, I don't like very many things being mandatory.
I see in your book you don't.
Yeah, so, but I do think that there's some benefit to people who have an interest in that. When you have as we were talking earlier, maybe 1.6, 1.7 million people or billion people on the face of the earth speaking Chinese, we know that, that it's going to have an influence on our culture eventually. And what we want to do is hold on to our values, but be willing to adapt and appreciate the versatility that we have in our society. So I don't like the idea of it being mandatory, but I think it's a great experience for anybody. And I can tell you that I'm still struggling to learn it myself.
And my second question is, what would you say to senior citizens like myself? In 2 years, I want to take a trip to China and possibly retire there. And you've been there several times. Could you expound on what the living's like there and expenses? And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Well, as is true in most places, there are some great places to live there if you're wealthy. It's a tough go in China if you don't have a lot of money. And if you think that the cost of living is lower there, it's true for locals, but it's not really true for expats or for foreigners living there. I also am very concerned. There are two things that people are very frustrated about in China right now. One is the corruption in the government. And, of course, the current president says that he's on a campaign, an anti-corruption campaign. We're not quite sure yet because he's only 2 years into his term. We're not sure if his anti-corruption campaign is really a consolidation of power where he gets rid of his rivals, or if it's a true commitment to more righteousness in the way that the government works. The second problem that has people very, very concerned there is pollution. The pollution rates in Shanghai and Beijing and a few other cities are so high that we don't have equipment in the United States to measure them. So I don't, as a senior citizen going over there to retire, unless you had some specific connection there, some specific volunteer work that you want to do or something like that, I think it'd be something that would deserve a lot of careful deliberation.
All right. Thank you very much, Liberal Steve, and safe travels to Ireland. Tom Munns, TomMunns.com, for Ron Price with Kevin Miller at 580 KIDO.
I think George Washington said it in his farewell address in 1799, friends with all nations, entangling alliances with none. Really, you know, I'm interested in whether he knows anything about the Trans-Pacific Partnership and the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership and America's willingness to be able to seek out the dollar and profit, corporate profits, at the expense of independence. Most people are not aware of these. They're 29 pages, allegedly, only four having to do with trade. They're going to be signed as early as the end of this year, the beginning of next year. America will effectually have lost its sovereignty through economic and political integration. This is a huge issue that most businesses don't even care about. The other thing to consider about...
Oh, my gosh. Do you want to let him answer that first part there?
Well, no, because I can get off. The other thing, too, is America's... The nations are all worried about communist China. They're worried about communist China and wondering if it's, this is all about wielding power. Communists, it's all about wielding power. And we all know that we're going to be communists someday. I mean, everything is just is headed that way. They own all of the gold. They own all of the natural resources. I mean, why are we tiptoeing around the idea in this sort of weird, political correct sort of utopian
thing? There are a lot of questions
when America's
here.
In full crisis right now.
All right. Tom Munns, thank you for the call.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. So first of all, I am not involved in statesmanship. I'm not involved in the high finance side of China. I'm a humble, small little person who's just trying to plant seeds of concepts about leadership and especially with this group of emerging leaders, help them to think about these concepts of character and expertise and put more emphasis on those so that when people do reach positions of power, we've got somebody who's got has something on the inside. We have somebody who stands for something, who believes in something, not just somebody who's looking for power or looking for position. I do think that it's very important for us to recognize that China, sometimes we can look at them as a friend. Other times we have to view them as an adversary. Sometimes they call for cooperation. Other times we have to recognize that they're competitors and they play by a different set of rules than we're accustomed to.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I mean, in our world, you're either a friend or a foe. One minute they're our great trading partner and they're they're buying our bonds. The next minute, they're stealing our intellectual property.
Yeah, I think those are very complex issues, but I don't think that either extreme is going to work. I think the extreme of isolating ourselves from them and saying we're not going to interact with them would represent failure, and I think the extreme of saying whatever they want, we're going to give them represents failure. This is why it's so important for us to have high-quality leadership to deal with these kinds of issues, and that they have to be principle-driven leaders. I completely reject Tom's idea that we're all going to end up being communists. Call me idealistic. Call me Pollyannish, but I still believe that freedom wins. And I believe that the best government is the government that's closest to the people. So in reality, I think that what I hope even in the U.S., I think we face the same, we face similar challenges in the U.S., but not to the degree, not to the intensity. I think the more we can move our government to the local level where it's the people who are closest to the government who are making this, who are involved in the government's making decisions close to those people, the better quality government we have. So I know, Kevin, this is a bit of a controversial idea, but I think we should be reducing the taxes that we pay to the federal government dramatically and increasing the taxes that we pay locally so that our money's spent with people we know and that we rub shoulders with every day.
Well, and if you want to have change, as you know, sir, it's about doing it at the local level. Finally, though, let's end on a good note. We owe you coming to the Treasure Valley to our great friend David Ferdinand. How did that happen?
Yeah, Davis, as I mentioned to you off air, he's, in my mind, the epitome of friendship. Years ago, Dave came and visited me in East Lansing, Michigan, where I lived for 33 years. And we got to know each other, and he asked me if I'd do a speaking tour or two with him. At the time, he was one of the vice presidents at AIM International in Nampa. And we traveled. I remember we drove across the state of Texas and had a wonderful time together. We were in, I can't remember where we were, but some small rural area in Texas, and he got on a payphone. Do you remember what those are,
yes,
Kevin?
Sir.
He got on a payphone and hung up the phone and said, well, I just resigned. I said, what? I'm out on a speaking tour with you. You just resigned?
Mm.
And he said, yeah, he was leaving the company. Well, it took a little while, but eventually the company asked if I'd do some consulting work for them, and then they asked me to come and take an executive position, and I ended up being the president of that company and retiring in 2000, having had a wonderful career. And I really owe it all to Dave Ferdinand, because he's the one that introduced me. He's the one who, in spite of all of those changes along the way, I always knew I could call Dave Ferdinand, and he would do everything in his power to help me, because he's a friend.
He's a great friend. He really is.
He is a great guy.
Mr. Price, we'd love to have you back.
I'd love to come back. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you, and we'll find out next time how you're working with the Chinese government to turn us all communists. I told you, we have an eclectic crew here.
Yeah, well, I enjoy it. I think conversation and controversy is beneficial.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Men, 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 manly men, 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 manly men, men, men.
Men, 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 manly men.
And good morning, everybody. True believers, evildoers beware. Ho, ho, ho. It's your jolly little elf, Kevin Miller in the morning. Starting you off on the Manly Man segment, and we have, we have Robin in for Dave, so I don't know how much of a Manly Man segment this will be, Robin, but how manly are you feeling this morning?
You know, I think my voice is a little bit deeper this morning.
I can tell. You know, it's funny because you get to live civilian hours, you get to live the civilian life, and then you come into the zombie squad, and every time you fill in for Dave Burnett, I always like to translate how you look when you come in, and usually it's like, yeah, okay, Miller, I'll do you a solid, okay. And then today when I came in to see you about 30 seconds ago, I thought I'd give you a little rest. I thought you looked a little pensive, a little apprehensive. You're like you're being held hostage. You're like, no, please don't talk to me for half an hour.
No, I just have other stuff I have to do before I can have this time with you.
Yeah. You know, it's all priorities. It's all priorities.
Well, I did. I prioritized so I could get that other stuff done out of the way so I could give you my mostly undivided attention.
Mostly undivided. We'll take it this week.
Got to keep one eye on the road just in case everything goes to hell on the roads. I got to, you know.
Here's the roads. They're wet.
That's true.
And I was listening to your enunciation, wet roadways, and I go, wet roadways? I go, yeah, that's how you say it. Wet roadways. And you didn't say wet roadways. You said wet roadways. And I was hoping you'd say wet roadways. Nonetheless, not yet.
I had to redo it several times. Wet roadways. Finally, after about four times, I got it.
Boy, so we've got that going on, the wet roadways today. In addition to that, here at 580 KIDO, it is Christmas week. Your thoughts on who's been naughty and who's been nice?
Well,
what does it mean to you?
What does it mean to me?
Mm-hmm.
Who's been naughty and who's been nice?
Christmas week.
Christmas, what does it mean? I just enjoy the time with the family.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter last night, we wrapped some stuff over the weekend and to make sure that there was something under the tree. Cause she's like, oh, there's not many presents under the tree yet. And so we wrapped several things. And then last night she's like, so are there any more presents that I, not that I care, but are there any more presents that are going to be under the tree? It's like, just take what you get, little girl.
Right.
You'll be fine. Jeez.
Take what you get.
Yeah. That's my, I'm really in the Christmas spirit.
Well, when I was,
you're going to get it and you're going to like it.
When I always talk to Mrs. Miller, she goes, you know, we've got, for some reason, there's a ton of presents under the tree. And I'm going, well, how many are there for Kevin Miller? That's, look, scorekeeper, that's enough out of you. I go, well, I don't see a lot for Kevin Miller. That's my favorite line. Well, I'm doing this for, well, what about Kevin Miller?
What about me?
It's a very joyful holiday spirit that I have year round. I just like that that phrase. What about Kevin Miller?
You know? Like, what's in it for me?
Man, Kevin Miller hasn't been too too naughty or too nice, you know.
So. Love it when you refer to yourself in third person.
Well, are you a biker?
Wait, okay, which kind of bike? Oh, no, huh?
Well, for the sake of theater of the mind, let's just say you are.
Okay.
Let's just say that you're like our friend Reverend Bill or Sweet Mitch that works here, and you go to Sturgis every year, right?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And you're decked out in your chaps and leather and all those things, okay? Theater of the mind.
All right? Okay. All right. Hey, I'll give it to
and
you.
And sometimes when you come in for traffic, you're wearing your biker outfit.
Oh, yeah. Leather everywhere. The studio smells fantastic.
Gene, keep both hands on the steering wheel this morning, brother. So I live vicariously through television, okay? I watch this thing called the Full Throttle Saloon.
Okay.
And Sweet Mitch, our beloved salesman, he goes to these biker things and he went there one time, and there's a guy there who's a 45-year-old white guy that has dreadlocks. His name's Michael Ballard. And Michael Ballard's always talking about his money. And then he goes to his assistant, well, you know what happened? Michael Ballard got his money. And so that's where I came from, Kevin Miller. What about Kevin Miller? What about Kevin Miller's presence? So while you're driving down the highway in your, you know, leather and Harleys and all that, I'm just watching it on television. So,
well,
wishing,
yeah,
I had dreads
and a bandana and assless chaps.
Maybe you, not me.
Yeah, well, I think I'm okay without those.
Well, thank you.
I got the ones with, you know, the ass.
We don't say the A word on this program. No, we're very family friendly. We're like the Kellen Moore of radio, you know. He goes around high-fiving people in his latest commercial there and wearing his T-shirts, and I don't know why he's high-fiving people, but we're kind of like that. We don't say the A-word. Now, you, when you're on your FM channels and swinging from the chandeliers and whatever all the frolicking y'all do over there.
You just use the F-word, so there you go.
Frolicking.
No, FM.
FM, yes. Yes, I did. So anyway, you do whatever you want over there. Over here, we have some standards.
I'm saying that the kids are sleeping. I'm just saying. They're still asleep. Like, after six, I could see, like, really watching it and making sure.
Well, you know, we have the standard all the time.
Oh, okay.
We do. So,
well,
anyway.
You don't want to cross that line. You think it's before six, and then it's not. And then you've crossed the line, yeah.
Yeah, we walk the line here. We don't cross it.
Good to know.
Yeah. So, you're kind of like, I was going to say you're kind of like our Megyn Kelly, but that's Linda from Emmett. I'm more like the Bill O'Reilly here.
I don't know about that.
Well, chronologically.
Okay. All right.
So back to some serious issues. Now, are you a big, and I want to call him Seth Rogaine for obvious reasons. Rogaine, Seth Rogen fan.
I like some of the stuff, not everything.
Well, of course you do. I don't like any of that stuff.
Okay. Of course you don't.
Of course I don't. I'm a prude. And then that James Franco.
Yeah.
What do you make of him?
I don't know. He's okay.
Well, it's okay. You could be a James Franco fan.
I'm really not. I can't stand to look at him that much.
Really? I heard he's an attractive guy.
To some people, he's not an ugly man, and by any means.
So you're attracted to him?
No.
Okay.
No, just not my cup of tea.
Now that we've clarified that up, I'm sitting there watching this whole interview thing. You know what that's about, right?
Yeah, right.
Now, I am not a bright man. I am a pudgy man. A man that will never wear leather for obvious reasons with derriere-free...
Hey, they make leather in all sizes.
I'm just saying all when you said derriere-less, buttocks-less chaps or whatever.
Sounds weirder when you try to say it, but yeah.
I get that my whole life.
But what about Kevin Miller?
You should have seen us talking about the Nutcracker last week. Never mind.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so here I am sitting here taking a look at this movie, and I would never go see this movie. And now I'm watching all the Sunday shows, and they're saying it should be our patriotic duty to go watch this dumb stoner movie about killing the North Korean dictator. Now, back to me being a dummy, before we get to this goofiness about Sony, how bright was it to make a movie about a man, no kidding, who starves his own people, who has nuclear weapons, who had his own uncle killed, who puts people to hard labor for not drinking the Kool-Aid, who, if you bring in a Bible, that's another 5 years of hard labor. How dumb was it to make a movie about this guy? Or, well, it's all about expression, everybody.
It seems like, yeah, why that? Why not pick something, less? I don't know. It is a very strange movie plot.
Well, it seems, though, that these folks don't understand that the world is not like the United States of America, that you have bad people that want to do bad things to all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And the bottom line is they don't care about expression in Russia, China, or North Korea. They don't have the same freedoms that we do.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I don't understand. Well, we need to, George Clooney, here, sign my online petition, everybody. And what happened?
Boo-hoo-hoo, nobody signed my online petition.
No, it's like this. I had a backup bell and someone stole that now.
What?
Yeah. So I feel like Clooney. Now, I know that's a stretch, but hey, it's before 6 a.m. You can say whatever you want. However,
that's right.
Back to this here at 580 KIDO, Robin in for Dave with K Millie. First of all, who in their right mind would make a movie about a killer who has no sense of humor?
It kind of seems like a dumb move.
Well, then you have Obama. Well, I told him I wouldn't have backed down. Oh, you wouldn't, huh? And then Sony goes, well, we called you. You never called us back. So.
I didn't think it was important.
I just love it. what gets me is I'm sitting here thinking now all of a sudden it should be our patriotic duty for Sony to make money and that the government should do something to save Sony from their own stupidity. And I'm like, it's a dumb movie. By the way, they went to Netflix, Hulu, and all those other places, and they decided. Now, you're an Amazon Prime person?
I am.
Yes. You actually helped me convert me even to an Amazon Prime person even more.
Yay.
Yeah, because you get so much free stuff with it.
You do.
Yeah.
Yep. I ordered all kinds of Christmas stuff.
Yeah, and the free shipping and everything. Oh, what's that? Oh, shut up about the free plugs for Amazon? All right. But, Amazon, everybody refused to play it because they don't want to be on the North Korean list. And by the way, so Seth Rogen and James Francovelli, they have nonstop security around them all the time now.
I don't blame them.
And they get, well, I don't care. And Sony hired this lawyer to threaten people not to release the star's secrets. Like they said, Clooney was whining that he had bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
DiCaprio wanted more money for Steve Jobs. Will Smith's kids are a handful because they're homeschooled. It's just a mess. And then you had Al Sharpton being mad because they don't have enough minorities, and now he's going to work with them. It's a mess.
Wow. I haven't searched too hard to find out all the stuff, but I've been curious. So thank you. You've been filling me in.
Well, that's what we do here, Robin. We give you the news, the talk, the opinion, the ha-ha. You're supplying the ha-ha's.
Yeah, that's true.
Today.
I got nothing else, so that's what I give.
Well,
I'm a giver.
You are a giver. We appreciate that. So that's what we have here this morning, the big topic of the day, if you will, the fallout over the interview. I love it how they're positioning this, that it's your patriotic duty.
To go see our crappy movie.
Yeah, and of course, two more things quickly. We have our show Christmas Party tomorrow. Not a lot of RSVPs. Are you excited about the show Christmas Party, or are you going to hide in your closet?
A little of both.
Well, you know, what I love about the people here is that they bring the food.
Now, you're doing it tomorrow instead of on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve is our Matters of Faith program.
Oh, okay. So Christmas Party tomorrow and then to the...
Yes, Robin. Thanks for listening.
Hey, you didn't say that stuff earlier.
I know. I figured you were listening all week.
Well, yes, of course I was. And yeah, I remember now.
Exactly. So we're going to have the Christmas party that will be coming up tomorrow with all of our characters. They'll probably start at 6, and I think we have some people that will show up at 5 a.m.
Holy cow.
Right.
I'm going to get a good night's sleep so I don't look like I've been.
Maybe you'll wear your biker attire.
Maybe I will.
Maybe I'll
wear. Got a closet full of it.
I'll wear my little elf attire. They'll be quite the duo, you and I.
I really do want to see that.
What?
You and your elf attire.
I'd like to see a lot of things. But anyway, so.
That's what she said.
Yeah. There you go again.
Oh, sorry. It's before 6.
I suppose. So we have that going on. Obviously, we'll talk about the fallout of the tragic killing of the police officers and find out, you know, Robin, is there a war on police with all this rhetoric? And then you have this wacko. He posted on a social media account, I'm going to get him back for Mr. Gardner, and, you know, kills two New York police cops in their patrol car.
Yikes.
Yeah.
What is this world coming to?
Thankfully, I just live with Mrs. Miller and three dogs. Two of them are dachshunds. Can't go wrong with a dachshund.
I think you can, but I hope that yours are different than some of the dachshunds that I've met.
How dare you attack my dachshund so early in the morning?
It's before 6.
Yeah. You know what time it is now.
Time for traffic. And it still looks good.
The roads are wet. Wet roads.
The wet roadways are 1 inch just fine.